still hot.
Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic. I win this. Yo, you hear those horns, you finished. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on you chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid, your boy hold weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you'll never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second tan.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, yeah. My time is now.
It's gon' be what it's gon' be. 5 pounds of courage, buddy base, 10 pants with a gold tee. It's a war dance, a victory step. A raw stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. John Cena trademark, y'all are so-so. And talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Aiming guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. In this pop, your lip lock, your big talks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice age melts. It seems monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I'm rockin' timepiece by Benny, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minx. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge of self. So for now, Mark Brecker's living life for wealth.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now.
What's up, KH6 listeners? This is the final edition of The Elephant in the Room. It is December 1st, 2016. And just wanted to start the show by saying thanks to all the fans. This will be the last show, The Elephant in the Room. I've finished up the Odyssey requirements for this project, and I've been doing this show for better part of 2.5 years now, or 4 or 5 semesters. So I really just want to thank everybody for listening, and I know this show could be nauseating to some people, and if you don't like it, you can turn it off. So anyway, we do have a show today to do today. We have a show to do today. And so the first story today comes to us from Amazon, your wonderful holiday provider. And it looks like Walmart and Target are going to be offering heavy discounts through the holiday season, and they had offered really heavy discounts in order to keep up with Amazon over the Black Friday and holiday season. Walmart and Target are gambling that deeper discounts and lower margins will be good for business and help close some of the gap with Amazon. Average discounts this holiday season for Walmart are predicted to be 39%, whereas last year they were 35%. Target grew their discounts from 36% to 38%. A senior VP at the firm MarketTrack says, with lines between the traditional brick-and-mortar store and the e-commerce continuing to blur, the need to make a big splash during the large retail events like Black Friday is significant. She continued, the ease of comparison shopping across channels is creating a situation that puts a definitive advantage in the consumer's hands of being able to look at different prices on your phone. Walmart is hoping to drive more people to the website in order to target Cyber Week, which has been going on since this past Monday. Walmart says that they have tripled their online holiday season catalog to 23 million products. Target this past Monday offered a 2-day 15% discount on everything online. Last holiday season, Target lost a whole 1% of profit margin from discounts and is expected to be much deeper this year. Excuse me. In bad news for retailers in general, however, the National Retail Foundation predicted that Americans probably spent around $137.4 million on holiday shopping the weekend after Thanksgiving. This past Thanksgiving. Even more worrying is the fact that Americans have spent 26% less during the post-Thanksgiving rush in 2015 than they did in 2013. However, holiday spending overall is still expected to grow 3.6% this year, indicating that shoppers are less concerned with the post-Thanksgiving rush. The National Retail Foundation says that the ability to shop and compare online has made Black Friday less of a factor in holiday shopping. Some retailers are saying they're hopeful for the season due to the fact that the election may have had people's wallets tied up. Investors seem to agree with retailers. The S&P Retail Index has risen 4.9% in November. Some analysts say that elections can tend to make people just postpone their spending, and they may not spend more and spend any more at all. Still, the biggest worry seems to be the giant Amazon, where people tend to look for products and stay there. And Amazon is raking in the dough. They say that orders on Thanksgiving alone this year, the day, Thursday, Thanksgiving this year, were larger than all of last year's holiday sales combined. Many consumers have simply said that to go, for them to go to the store, the discounts must be higher. You know, it's kind of sad, though, to see retail stores begin to decay, but companies will always need them, whether it's a face for the brand or a distribution center as well. There will be jobs in the in that department. So long as people will spend, they're certainly going to do that.
How can we be identified if our image is crucified? I wanna taste of your love, taste of your touch, a reality. Meet my heart, not this plate that's serving up plastic parts. Meet my soul, not a facade that's clouded the rest of me. Now let's put the brakes on the world, the world, the world.
What's up, listeners? Once again, you're listening to KHDX.FM, and this is The Elephant in the Room. And I hope you enjoyed that last story about the old holiday season. Good way to get us started after Thanksgiving break and whatnot. Anyway, so the next story of the day is the shakeups coming to the Fed with the Trump presidency. So the Federal Reserve could be in for quite a bumpy ride as a Donald Trump era ensues. Representatives on the right have consistently been very displeased with the Federal Reserve over the last 8 years and can finally push through the changes that they want for the system. Republican Representative from Michigan, Bill Huizenga, said that, quote, "We knew there was going to be limited progress under Barack Obama's administration." He continued to say, "Now with a partner at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that's interested in moving the needle, frankly, we'd be dumb not to try to pursue this." For years, Republicans have been pushing new regulation on the Fed, but have faced harsh backlash from Democrats. Republican lawmakers want more oversight and regulation over how the Fed deploys its monetary tools to steer the economy. Many experts believe that we may even see hearings and such for the events that unfolded at the Fed during and after the recession. Other experts suggest that Republicans will be pushing for outside review of monetary policy decisions before acting. The most pressing issue in the near term for the Fed is what Trump will do with the Treasury Secretary, who he recently appointed before I made this. But his appointment there will be very telling as to the direction policy is going to move. And now we can say that he's appointed Steve Mnuchin there, and the ex-Goldman Sachs executive, and he founded a capital firm. So we know that now, but just recently, Republicans tried to pass an audit the Fed bill that would have allowed the Government Accountability Office to review monetary policy. That bill failed massively, but could be a success now. I certainly think the Fed needs to undergo some fundamental changes, but the biggest beef amongst everyday Americans is that they don't understand what the Fed does, and therefore they believe that the Fed is this shadow group working behind the scenes. In reality, they are the experts in the money supply. What the Fed does is often so complicated that all this new possible oversight might not actually produce a positive result. They are a shadowy type organization, but they're some of the smartest economists we've got. And while some changes need to happen in reference to oversight, making fundamental changes to the operations of the Fed could prove to be disastrous.
We'll be right back.
Well, that's KSHX listeners. I hope you enjoyed that track by The Who. I always play, if I'm going to play that song, I got to play the extended version. So anyway, the next story for the show is about the French presidency. And while this doesn't really matter to us, I will relate it back to the United States towards the end there. So it would seem as though another center-right wing, somewhat bombastic figure is having quite a bit of success in France as their presidential election nears. François Fillon, sorry, I had to do that, won his center-right presidential primary in France this past Sunday, which has put him on the fast track to the presidential office. Nevertheless, he faces road bumps on his pathway to the presidency. The Financial Times reports that two things must hold true if he is to make it to the quote-unquote French White House. The Financial Times says that first, he and Marine Le Pen, the leader of the far-right National Front Party in France, must be the two candidates who make it through the first round of elections on April 23rd to square up against each other in the May 7th runoff. Now, if you remember, France has a parliamentary system, so everybody puts forth a candidate, and they have a runoff until they can get down to two candidates. They continue to say that second, there is a mass of French voters who will then rally behind Mr. Fillon. Many on the left and the center, doubtless holding their noses to keep out Ms. Le Pen. This happened in 2002 when Jean-Marie Le Pen, her father, lost by an overwhelming 82-18% margin to Jacques Chirac. Like Mr. Fillon, Mr. Chirac was the standard bearer of the mainstream right. Le Pen, backed by her hard right party, received a solid 25-30% of the National Front vote and will easily make the runoff. Then again, if Fillon slips, he could lose the ruling Socialist Party's candidate. He could lose to the ruling Socialist Party's candidate in an upset. The French Socialists will choose their nominee in January, where the party has often been seen as out of ideas and running on steam. The idea that the Socialist candidate, whoever that may be, can cause an upset is rather far-fetched at this point, as France shifts farther and farther to the right, or their definition of the right. The Socialists in France will look to paint Fillon as much too free market economist and bad for the country. According to the Financial Times, Fillon's plan is to cut 100 billion euros in government spending cuts over 5 years with the loss of 500,000 public sector jobs. Mr. Fillon would raise the VAT tax by 2 percentage points, scrap the 35-hour working week in the public sector, and gradually increase the retirement age to 65. Coupled with all this would be a $50 billion increase in tax breaks for companies. Ironically, this plan has already drawn even more attacks from the far-right National Front, headed by Ms. Le Pen from earlier, where their ideas are much more, quote-unquote, Trumpish, focusing on economic nationalism and protectionism. Mr. Fillon's biggest hurdle is his resume. He was the prime minister from 2007 to 2012 of France, and by most standards, he achieved close to nothing. Nevertheless, his ambition during the election season in France has given voters quite a bit of hope that he will pass good economic reform. So the key to all of this is that France is more than likely going to dispose of their socialist government in May and move away from the socialist ruling party. While the contrasts aren't identical, comparisons aren't identical, it seems that this wave of far-right-wing nationalism keeps on giving. The Brexit vote, far-right-wing parties in Hungary, France, right increasing, and then the election of Donald Trump stateside. If anything, this should calm some hysteria behind Trump. This isn't anything new. However, it is interesting that the world is shifting to this sort of protectionist idea, nationalist idea in unison. Unfortunately, the last time we saw all this crazy nationalism was before World War I, but that's really not a fair comparison considering the complete different technological landscape. But we're not the only ones out there. Everybody's moving farther to the right, whatever their definition of the right may be. You got to remember, Europe's definition of the right is essentially our Democrats. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. So anyway, we got one more story coming up, and I'm gonna play one more song. You're not.
fuck no.
What's up, K-Shakes listeners? We have our final story of the day, and it is about precious metals. So Bloomberg reports that the Bloomberg Industrial Metals Subindex headed for the biggest five-day gain since 2011. As zinc touched a nine-year high, prices rallied after China's top economic commission approved a $36 billion plan on new rail links around Beijing, boosting demand for raw industrial materials. Zinc for delivery in 3 months rose 5.2% to $2,900 a metric ton, and after touching $2,885, the highest since October 2007. Lead is up 19% since November 18th, set for the biggest six-day advance since June 2009. On the Shanghai Futures Exchange, both zinc and lead closed to their record closes. Zinc is the best performer in the commodities index this year, poised with the steepest climb since 2009. Issues are starting to rise in the supply of zinc, however, where many zinc mines have closed down. An analyst from Beijing has said that they are bullish in the precious metals market industry over the next few months. Copper prices have risen 0.7% over the last 3 months after touching a $6,000 price per ton in 2015. However, U.S. analysts say that the drive for copper is not being driven by real growth, but rather short sellers trying to cover their losses. Either way, the increased demand in China is a telltale sign that China refuses to slow down for U.S. politics. I think it shows a great deal of confidence and possibly arrogance by China that Trump will not be affecting their economy as much as he says he will. We are one of China's biggest trading partners, and a hostility in trade deals could hurt their economy. But it seems more and more that China simply says, bring it on. And so that's the end of that story. And I really just want to end right now and thank everybody for listening to The Elephant in the Room. Like I said, you won't have to listen to me ever again, more than likely. But I have enjoyed bringing you guys these news stories. I know they weren't always the most interesting things, but sometimes they were. I hope you enjoyed the music. And feel free to quarrel with me around campus when you see me. But otherwise, thanks again for listening, and see y'all on the flip side.